Extension 720. Happy Wednesday evening, everyone. 8:05. Broadcasting live from 303 East Wacker, high above the Chicago River and Wacker Drive. This is Extension 720. I'm John Hanson in for Justin Kaufman. Now, Don Kleppen, I heard that sports report there. A lot of things going on this evening. Did we have a softball update from the championship radio softball game going on?
Oh, man, John Hanson. man, that's a deep sports cut right
yes,
there.
Yes, well, that's where Justin is tonight. I hope I'm allowed to say that. I think someone posted that on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, it's a big night. We got to, you know, if you don't know these media leagues, I was in a bowling league a couple years when I worked over at a DNA Info, and boy, we fought against the Onion, BEZ, the Trib, Sun Times. You take it seriously.
Oh, was that the famous bowling media scrum
yes.
of 2016?
Yes. Oh. Yeah. Charlie Meyerson whacked me with an 8-pounder upside the head, but yeah. I got him back.
But he was grammatically correct while he did it.
The whole way. Yeah, absolutely. I know that's where Justin is tonight. He's a big softball aficionado. I was trying to see who was tagged in the post to see just how solid the team is. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Brand's on the squad. He looks like an athletic guy.
Yeah, they're golden.
Yeah, he's their goal. Let's hope. It's the championship game, so I don't know who we need to text to figure that out, but we'll start making the rounds.
Yeah.
Hopefully by 8:30 or 9 o'clock we get a full update. So coming up on the show today, we just got kind of a shorty here with Andre, obviously having the first hour on our great show with the reporters. Coming up at 8:30, I'm really excited to introduce you guys to Katie Cahan. She's a contestant on The Voice currently, and I met her on the jam this morning. She came in, and, you know, we've interviewed a lot of great people that walk on in, and they're voice contestants or whatever. And, you know, everyone's got a really cool story. But Katie's from the Chicago area. She's from Summit, grew up, and she is this incredible blues singer who sang in the choir, a very similar story to a lot of folks who sing and grow up in that atmosphere. But she didn't start singing solo till she was 30. She was scared of it, but she got some really positive reviews, and now she's all the way up on The Voice, competing well. All the judges turn their chairs around. So we're going to be chatting with her, playing some of her music. She's got a new album out as well, and she'll give us a little bit of what's going on The Voice, and also just meet her. She's a great person. I can't wait to introduce everyone to her. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about Alzheimer's, the Association of Illinois, their chapter. They're going to be coming in to talk about some of the advances we've had in Alzheimer's research, especially over the last decade, especially over the last 2 or 3 years, especially, and how you can help. They're having a walk at the end of October. They do it every single year, and your funding really goes a long way to try and obviously end Alzheimer's. They say that they think that there is someone alive now who will be the first person to survive Alzheimer's. That's the goal right now, that person is already born and here somewhere in the world. So we're going to chat with them about their goals. And then I've interviewed the folks behind LISC, or LISC. It's the Local Initiative Supports Corporation. And they have a few different chapters all over the city, primarily on the south and west sides, that try and help neighborhoods through many different organizations and partnerships that they have. They love to look forward 5-10 years at what the neighborhoods are going to look like and how we can better improve neighborhoods all across the city. And today we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship, how there's so many residents in these neighborhoods that are trying to start businesses. It's really hard to start a business, so we've got two folks coming in that are going to be breaking down the best way for these folks to start businesses, and really any of you guys too. This is advice that is applicable whether you live on the southwest side, the west side, northwest Indiana, the suburbs, the north side, doesn't matter. Starting a business, you might have a great idea out there, or you might be already starting to chug along with something, and they'd love to take your calls too, 312-981-7200 if you have any business questions. Obviously, we'll be keeping in touch with what's going on in the news with Don Kleppen, of course, in the sports world too. We're going to take our commercial break here a little early because I want to play a game called Yay or Nay. So I played this with Don and folks last week when I filled in for Justin. And it's an all Chicago edition tonight. So all Chicago stories, and with each one, things that have happened in the news in the last couple days, you've got to vote either yay or nay to the question I ask. But it's fun to have Ashley play, and she'll be joining us. Don Kleppen's going to hop on too, but you can too. 312-981-7200. Love to get a caller or two on the line. It's really easy. Don, you can attest. Yay or nay, it's pretty simple. You just got to answer and explain your answer.
Yay. Nay, it is simple.
It is. For sure. Yes. Nay, it is not hard. A double negative there. 312-981-7200. You're not guessing trivia. You're not guessing anything. I'm just going to pose the story to you and see yay or nay. Got to say hello to Ashley Byon. Hi, Ashley. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Feeling pretty good. Now, are you a bum that you're not on the softball team here?
I am a bum. When they sent out the initial
email... Wait, did you say you are a bum or you're bummed?
I'm bummed, but I'm also a bum.
Okay.
But when they sent out the initial email, I was like, oh, I should do it. Why not? Yeah, let's go. Let's go. And then I just... I was like, I need to get in shape.
At least you... Whoa. Get in the shape. Is this 12-inch or 16-inch, Don? Do you know? I think it's probably 16-inch softball.
I heard 16, yeah.
Okay, you don't need to get in shape.
I get winded walking up the stairs.
You don't have to run very far in 16-inch. 60 feet at a time, baby.
People play 16-inch about 16 beers deep.
Yes.
You're okay.
I think that's a requirement.
Yes,
my dad still plays approaching 70, and he just loves when he gets to be catcher. That's what he wants, which is exactly what the late 60s guy should be doing. He's the catcher.
Yeah, fully standing up.
Right.
The knees.
You don't have to give any signs. Nope. Just come on, throw it over. Yep. There's rarely big plays at the plate in 16-inch softball.
You're just waving the opposing team's runners home. Basically.
Yes, exactly. Come I think you just in. Have to keep score, honestly, as the catcher. Just count up. But Ashley, I got to say, at least you were asked to play.
It was an email. You didn't get the email?
No, I didn't get the email. I'm not on a lot of the email chains around here. I've learned that extensively lately in many different ways. So you can just start forwarding me those emails.
I will. I got you.
I got to talk to Mary and make sure that I get on the list. I fill in here enough, and I feel like I should be on it because I really felt I would have contributed to the squad this
year. I was going to say, I'm shocked you are not also there playing the game.
Oh, I love 16-inch or 12-inch softball. A little bummed out again to ask. But we'll find out how they're doing a little bit later on. We'll play yay or nay. 312-981-7200. It's John Hanson in for Justin Kaufman until 10 here on 720 WGN. Extension 720, John Hanson in for Justin Kaufman until 10 o'clock this evening. You can catch me weekday mornings on CW26, 6 to 8 a.m., co-hosting The Jam. You can also find me at home Blackhawks games as you're in host stadium arena announcer MC or something like that. I just get to play fun games with fans. You can come say hi to me in section 312, Blackhawks fans. And, of course, you can catch me here on WGN. Okay, Ashley. There's a new game. Well, not brand new. I played it last week with Don. It's the easiest game there is. Are you ready to play a little yay or nay?
Oh, I'm ready.
It's pretty easy. Don can attest to that.
Yes.
And basically, I'm just going to give you a story, run down some of the details. This is an all Chicagoland edition. So local. And you get to vote yay or nay. So we are going to start in Lincoln Square. By the way, I'm surprised that I hadn't thought about this. What do you think one of the most popular costumes will be in Chicago here this October? In Chicago, a very Chicago story from the summer. It'll be the big Chicago.
Oh, Chance the Snapper.
Yes. Oh. Chance the Snapper will certainly be at the top of many lists for Chicago costumes. Well, this family went one step further. They dressed their corgi as Chance the Snapper for Halloween, and it is the cutest picture. This comes to our friends from the folks at Block Club Chicago.
I love corgis so
much. Yes. Oh, a corgi dressed as Chance the Snapper surprisingly didn't win at this weekend's Applefest Pet Costume Contest, but he took first place in our hearts.
That's probably rigged if that pup didn't win the contest.
That's what I was saying. How does this little corgi, and you got to see the photo of it. I'll post it on the Facebook page. Just looks absolutely adorable. It's got the alligator costume, obviously. His head is kind of coming out of the mouth of Chance. And he's got a Chance hat on, the number 3 on it.
Corgis are just photogenic dogs.
They really are.
They're so cute.
And the corgi's name is Nugget.
Oh, gosh.
So Nugget hit the festival on Saturday. It's obviously proven very popular online. Nugget's owner says that his girlfriend came up with the idea when they were at a pet store. They spied a gator costume, so obviously they said they had to make him Chance the Snapper. I've got to figure out who didn't win. I don't see it in the article yet, although I haven't gotten all the way down to the bottom. Oh no, the top prize went to a tiny dog dressed to look like it was carrying a... Oh, this is close. Carrying a can. It looked like a can of PBR.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Throw a lord on the back, and that's a winner for sure.
So this one poses two yay or nay questions. First of all, yay or nay, should Chance the Snapper or a little corgi have won? Yay or nay?
I say yay on that.
Yay.
Over the PBR for sure. I'll have to see a picture of the winner to,
PBR is like an evergreen costume. Yeah, this is this year specifically.
Right. You could do PBR. You could do a Malort bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Any year.
Some Italian beef, a little hot dog thing. Yes. That stuff's like every year you can do that.
You can do that. But certainly for Chance the Snapper, that's it. Yay or nay, dressing up dogs in general or your pets, putting costumes on them. Yay or nay?
I've been a pretty hard nay on that for a long time.
I think I heard a show that you, one of the mornings you were on with John on a Saturday morning talking about something similar to that.
Yeah, it just, I feel like it's, I mean, they can't speak as to how torturous they find it, but I feel like if they could, we would hear it.
Right, so nay to costumes for dogs. Ashley?
I'm a yay for costumes on Halloween. I'm a nay for the people that dress their dogs up all the time.
Right, every single season or week they've got a
They don't
thing.
Need a sweater.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're good.
Yeah. Right.
They don't need booties. They're good.
Right. They're fine. No hats.
They have nicer sneakers than I do.
Exactly. And they probably cost more, too. All right. So that is, I'm going to go with a nay as well. I'm not a big dress up your dog. But the Halloween thing, Chance the Snapper, we're going to give them a pass, certainly. Cool?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
all right.
That's cool.
All right. Here is our next story here. Chicago. You just talked about this, I believe, at the top of the hour. Chicago named the best big city third year in the row.
That's right.
By Condé Nast Readers. And you were talking about how it was a relatively new addition, the best big city category, a couple years ago. Now, in
2015, I think they started it.
And so we've gotten, three out of the four or five years, I guess?
New York won it the first 2 years, and then we've won it the 3 years since then.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Did you happen to go through some of the other top ones? I've got them here, Don, if you didn't.
I did not.
Minneapolis, number two, which I've been through the Twin Cities. I've never actually stopped in there, but I hear great things.
Same.
About our neighbors to the north. Rounding out the top 10 list of the best big cities is Boston, coming in at number three. Which I have mixed feelings about.
Boston's number three.
Yeah. And I like Boston. It's very walkable, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel too big when you're there, which I guess makes it a good city. I'm sure a lot of Bostonites listening won't be happy. But I didn't love Boston. I went to a Fenway Park. I stayed there for 5 or 6 days when I went. I really gave it a chance.
Right. Not to mention, this is the list of the best big cities
yes,
to go to.
Exactly.
I feel like, wow.
Yeah. Right. New Orleans, number four.
Okay, wow.
Have you been to New Orleans?
No, not yet.
Is it a big city? Like, I guess I should be looking at what their criteria is for big city.
Yeah, I know. It's like 5,000 plus.
Yeah. Okay, yes, exactly. Elgin's on the list.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Right.
Champaign-Urbana. Washington, D.C., which is a city I lived in, comes in at number five. Which, again, is a little bit smaller in scale, but if you got the history there, it makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot. That's a fun place to be.
San Diego, California, now comes in at number six. Don, I don't know if you spent some time there.
I have in San Diego. I really do like that city a lot. It reminds me much of Chicago on the West Coast.
Yeah, our friend Jenny Milkowski, who used to work here in Chicago, moved out there. I always feel so bad for her doing the weather in San Diego. She does traffic for one of the shows, weather for the midday. Like, what do you do?
It's not much change
to talk
about.
Not much change.
Yeah.
New York City, who you said in 120. Twice came in at number seven. Pittsburgh comes in at eight. And I got to say, wow. I don't know if you've been to Pittsburgh.
Have not.
I have a couple times for Pirates-Cubs games.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I've gone back a couple times, I love Pittsburgh.
Oh, all right.
It has a sort of Chicago vibe to it in some places. It's a working class city.
Yeah.
Got a lot of blue collar roots in it.
Mm-hmm.
Very fervent sports fans.
Totally.
And the ballpark is great there. And that downtown little area, it's just not big. You know, I mean, I guess it meets the criteria here for big city. But it's a fun place. Rounding out the top 10 is Honolulu, Hawaii at number 9.
Wow, that is a leap right there.
Really?
Not that it's not deserving of the top 10. I mean, it's Honolulu. It's like paradise, mm-hmm. I guess. But just to go from, I mean, we got Chicago. Those are like some Midwestern and Northeastern blue-collar cities. And then paradise comes in at number 9,
I guess. Here's the one I disagree with the most. San Antonio comes in at number 10.
Wow.
And I've been to San Antonio.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And I've done the Riverwalk thing. And that's all I did in San Antonio. Whereas I went down to Austin, and I know Austin's very hip, and people love to talk about Austin, how cool it is, keep Austin weird, all that. But Austin's fine. I loved Austin. I'm shocked. Or even Dallas I liked more than San Antonio.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Dallas is fun. And Austin is too, as you said.
Right.
That is surprising. San Antonio, I hardly remember the trip.
Right, exactly. The Riverwalk is it. All right, so yay or nay, Chicago, best big city in the country.
Yay.
Yeah, I got to go with a yay too.
That's a loud one.
Yeah, I just... And we could go on forever about many issues that we have, and certainly we do cover that in our news breaks, whether it's the bad stuff, the budget, or whatever it may be. But, boy, we are so blessed to be able to live here, I think, in my personal opinion.
Oh, yeah, a lot to like about it. You know, it's just, as you said, we talk about the good and the bad, but there's a lot of good.
Right. That's two yays. Ashley's working on our next guest here to make sure that she's all ready to go, so she can't play this round. But here's another one. I don't know if you heard this story, Don. A helicopter flight school apologizing for a, quote, unfortunate incident when the wheel of a helicopter flew through the roof of a Linwood home. Did you see this story?
I did. Yep. And and a picture of the wheel.
Yes. I mean, imagine. I mean, you look at the picture, like, you're just sitting there. It's right above the toilet, and there's just this, I don't want to say giant, but a helicopter wheel through the roof, and the helicopter school says that they are sorry that that happened. The organization said that they didn't expect it to happen, of course. She obviously, the owners of this house said they live near the airport. They've thought about that worst-case scenario. Certainly, we've heard of crashes of planes or helicopters, unfortunately, going into homes. Very rare. It doesn't happen very often. But the helicopter wheel. So are you accepting the apology? If you own that house and you got a helicopter wheel coming through your bathroom, are you accepting the apology?
I would accept it if it came with a check for the repairs to the ceiling. Sure.
Yes, yes. Amen to that. I'm on the same wavelength. Yay to that. If it, I'd say that and a little bit more. Punitive damages.
Yeah, exactly. Because now you got the repairs, you got weeks where your house is kind of, you know, messed with.
I would lie and say I was in the bathroom at the time it happened.
Oh, yeah.
It just shocked me so much.
Emotional damages.
Yes, emotional damages.
Yeah.
Sitting on the can and a helicopter wheel comes through.
How am I ever supposed to poop comfortably again? Ever.
Question I ask myself every day, Don, regardless of helicopters.
Right.
All right, so that's two yays with a little bit of money. All right, really quickly, the Chicago Marathon is this weekend. I'm just going to leave it at that. Yay or nay to the marathon?
That's a nay for me, actually.
Yeah, I'm proud of anyone that's able to do that, I guess.
It is impressive,
but
definitely.
They can't stop telling you how happy they are that they can do that. And then you get the 26.2s on the back of cars.
Uh-huh, that's true. And they close these major streets, and it's a whole weekend thing.
Right.
And yeah, there's a lot. It's a lot for everybody's, a few people's fun activity time.
Ashley, yay or nay to the marathon? Are you a marathon runner?
No. A nay.
I guess you were worried about playing 16-inch softball, so I should have made the leap to say that you're not a marathon runner.
I want to do one of those, like, Tough Mudder things.
Done one.
Where you, like, get in the mud and you get, like, shocked.
Actually, no, let me stop myself. I haven't done a Tough Mudder. I did something called a Muddy Buddy, which I can imagine was just a watered-down version of a Tough Mudder, and that was too much for me, but it was exciting nonetheless.
Right.
Last yay or nay for us, Cody Parkey returning to football. The Tennessee Titans reportedly set to sign the ex-kicker 9 months after the double doink. Former Bears kicker Cody Parkey set to return to the NFL. The Tennessee Titans kicker went 0-for-4 in his game against the Bills.
Yeah, Cairo Santos, I think.
So that didn't go well. So don't get me wrong, they've got nowhere to go but up, and Cody Parkey certainly hit the uprights a bunch, sometimes multiple times on one kick. But he made some kicks last year.
Totally.
So I guess what I'm saying is, all right, you're down by 2 points, whatever. You're at the 35-yard line, so you're lining up for a 47, or let's say you're at the 30. You're lining up for a 47-yard kick. Yay or nay, are you sending Cody Parkey in, or are you just going to go kick it yourself, Don Kleppen? Yay or nay, confidence in Cody Parkey?
Ooh, I like the way you phrased it. In confidence in Cody Parkey, like if I were coming from the Titans thing, if it was a yay or nay just to have him signed again,
yeah.
I'm yay for that.
Okay.
I think Parkey deserves another shot. But if you're asking if I would actually trust myself over the guy and it's a 47-yard kick, yeah, yay. I'll go in there and take that kick.
Ashley, Cody Parkey, double doink, back, yay or nay?
I think I'm going to go with the same thing that Don said.
Yeah, exactly. I don't trust him out there, but how cool would a good redemption story be?
Oh, right. What if he never misses another kick?
Oh, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, I'd be jealous. I'd be upset he didn't do it for the Bears.
Yeah.
But it'd be pretty cool for him.
Yeah, it's just one of those. I mean, this is a player. They do think, like, kickers have missed all the time. It was just such a...
It really, was the way.
Yeah, it was a
if
brutal...
If he missed it wide left, it's. I think it's still bad.
Oh, totally.
It's, but it hits both.
It's forgettable. Yeah,
exactly.
It's, but this way, it's just haunting now.
Yep. That's Yay or Nay. We'll tease what's coming up in just a bit here on 720 WGN. After the news, Katie Caden of The Voice joining me here on 720 WGN. She's got a great story, an even better voice, and an awesome personality. We're going to meet her after the news, but it is 8:30 news time here with Don Kleppen. Hey. That's the voice of Katie Caden appearing on The Voice right now. Katie, thanks for joining us here on WGN Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, those pipes are incredible, and that sound comes from Chicago.
Yes!
Summit, so to Chicago. Be exact.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Yes, born and raised in Summit. That was always the thing. People would always say to me, you're not from Chicago, you're from Summit. I'm like, if I cross the street, I'm in Chicago.
Yeah, just cross Harlem the other way, and you're right there. So you're on The Voice now. Walk us through where we are in the season, what's happening. You've gotten the chairs turned around. Give us the update.
Well, I auditioned for The Blinds, and I got 4 chair turns.
So for people that don't know what The Blinds are, what is that? If people have never watched The Voice.
So
I think that they've seen these moments happen, but The Blinds are the early part of the seasons, right?
Absolutely. It's the beginning part of the show where you have to audition for your 4 coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And the 4 coaches are Blake Shelton, John Legend, Gwen Stefani, and Kelly Clarkson.
Some people we've heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're pretty amazing. And you sing when they're not facing you.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, it's amazing.
So what? Yes, right. You want them to turn around.
Correct.
So what was that like? I mean, you're standing there, you're singing. I mean, where does that come from? Are you nervous? Do you channel it away? Walk us through that moment.
I had to channel it away. You know, I've been performing professionally around Chicago for a little over 8 years. Not that long, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got into the scene a little bit later in my life. I mean, I'm not that old.
No.
And I got my start at the Wonder Bar. So just playing different stages throughout the city, it prepared me for this stage. Was I nervous? Not really. It was weird.
Really?
That I wasn't, yeah. I mean, I had my little moments.
Yeah.
Little bits and pieces, like, ooh.
I'm sure throughout the day, aren't you, a little bit, but maybe in that moment, you were able to channel.
You know what? I was so busy.
Yeah.
Like, filming different things where they take you around and film B-roll and all that stuff. I didn't even know what B-roll meant until
You sounded like a pro
voice.
Just there,
I know,
by
right?
The way. Now you
I
know.
I should have faked it.
Yeah, you're really in now. So then what happens? You start singing. How long till the chairs start turning around?
Not too long. John turned, he was the first to turn around pretty soon before I got to the big thing with my voice. I don't know the big thing.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though, where you really reach back. You reach down and it comes up.
I'm like really feeling. I just gave him a little ooh, diddly bop, you know, one of those.
So when John turns around, I mean, you're already in really great shape there at that point. And then does it then make you just perform even bigger at that point? Because you got nothing to lose then.
What I was doing is my plan wasn't to really sing to them because their backs were turned to me. And I learned so many great things from friends, Chicago musicians. Sing to your audience. There was a big audience that I was singing to. So I sang to them. And I thought, if I can sing to them, the coaches can watch their faces and see their reaction to what I'm doing. And I think I just did that. And once John turned around, it was awesome. And then they started going one by one, then Blake, and then Kelly, and then Gwen. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I was so in the moment that I kind of wasn't even thinking about the whole turning around thing. I was just having fun. And I got to play with an awesome band.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, well, and, like, I really
mean,
good.
And that's the thing. I mean, you're singing blues. So it's about the band as much, not as much, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The sound is an all-encompassing sound when you're talking about blues.
For sure.
How long have you sang blues? Is that just part of your DNA?
I think so. It started with gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel music. Actually, folk music before, and I was classically trained as well. As a young singer, I was in Chicago choirs growing up, and when I got into the blues, I think it was because gospel was such a part of that gut singing, you know? Mm-hmm. And my Uncle Ray taught me how to all about the blues.
Mm-hmm.
He would tell me stories and feel, and he'd play for me, and we'd make up blues songs. I'm like, I'm pretty good at this. I should try this.
So you did it a bunch in church, mm-hmm. which I mean, I think is such a classic gospel blues story.
Yeah.
You hear blues singers talk about that all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. so many of them started in church. But at what point do you switch and say, okay, well, I sing as part of a choir, mm-hmm. and maybe you get a solo or two or a liner or two or something like that. That's nerve-wracking enough. And then say, no, I want to do this and be front and center.
Like in the bars?
Yeah.
From church to the bars. Yes. Is that what you're asking me, John?
How do you switch to where the booze is?
Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, I mean, exactly.
Well, yeah. Totally different experiences, but really, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I felt. Singing to God or leading people into song has always been my thing. I'm also a teacher and was a vocal coach, and still am a vocal coach. So
her rate's gone up, everyone, just a little bit.
I know. I can't wait. Yes. Hire me. Yeah. It's worth every penny.
Right. I'm reading off the website. We talked about this morning on The Jam, the mm-hmm. idea of, you know, someone had to, and I feel the same. I did a little stand-up before, not mm-hmm. very good, but it took kind of someone taking you aside and saying, hey, you're pretty good at this. Do it. And I had those insecurities, too, mm-hmm. and still do in this business, as I think a lot of folks do on air. Did that happen to you? Did someone have to kind of say, hey, you're darn good at this, to give you a little bit extra confidence, or did you always know deep inside?
I think it was gigging a lot in the mm-hmm. city. In
yeah.
the beginning, I was super insecure. I was, and terrified. Like, I would get sick to my stomach. And I'm not going to go into detail about that.
Right.
But before performances, and then the more I did it, I just realized, you know, singing in a loud bar, you can't always grab everybody's attention. But it was such a learning experience. When I didn't grab people's attention, I sang for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sang for me, then everybody followed suit. And I think that's true as an artist, you know, like as a singer, an artist too. And when we feel a song, and I tell all my students, when you feel your song, everybody else is going to feel it too.
Mm-hmm.
So that was...
They know, that confidence. No, really, but I mean, like, yeah. when you watch someone, I mean, it's all about what they... If they are having a good time, you can't help but
right.
smile. I mean, the talent comes along with that too, and that's important stuff.
And if you get dirty looks, you just think, jerk. Maybe.
Yeah. Thank you for your radio version of what you think about people that give you dirty looks.
Oh, no, that's not the radio version. That's the real version.
What's the blues scene like in Chicago?
I mean, love the blues scene.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I've been partaking in the blues scene for a couple years now. I started at the Women's Jam at Blues on Halsted.
Mm-hmm.
And they just let me up on stage. Actually, the first time I went on stage was, yeah, it was at a Women's Jam. And then the second time, Mike Ledbetter, who was a blues singer that passed away this year, really let me and taught me a lot about the blues as well and how to perform and to understand the history of the blues, too. It was just such a great community. And they have women pro jams, mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. where the women come up and get to shine, mm-hmm. you know, and do what they do. A lot of people like Peaches Satin and Miss Peaches were great women in the blues community that really let me on their stage and shared their stage. And just watching different artists play who have been doing it for so long and traveled all over the world really taught me a thing or two. The blues scene is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's a lot of tourists come to the blues clubs. A lot of Chicagoans, too. I'd like to see more Chicagoans, to be honest with you.
And I got to agree. And here, so mm-hmm. I grew up, my dad, soul, blues, mm-hmm. Motown. That's what we grew up to.
That's awesome.
White guy from Downers Grove. That's what we grew up to. Okay, that's what it was Downers all about. Grove. Oh, yeah. Shout out. Southwest Burbs. Blues Brothers in the house every Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. You know, F words and all. My parents let us watch it. It was okay. And then you grow up a little bit, and I lost touch a little bit with that scene, and I come to Chicago. And I lived here 6 years before I went to Kingston Mines. Mm. And I was dragged by my now husband there because he was doing it for a work event. And I didn't even know. Mm. And this place was...
Shame on you, right? John.
But I'm admitting that. I'm trying to come
no,
forward.
No, I know. I'm sorry.
No, but like...
I don't mean to shame you.
But I went there and I was awoken. No, the shame all away because I don't think people realize how vibrant the scene is and how much fun...
It really is.
Blues is. Mm-hmm. How... Just you can be awe-inspired by voices, by but more than that, by the band that's happening, a guitar lick, whatever it might be, the drummer, the guy who does it all, the gal that does it all, whatever it might be. So you mentioned Blues on Halsted, the Kingston Mines. Any other places you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, there is a place called the Waterhole. It's a juke joint. Super fun. They play a lot of blues. Mm-hmm. Hyde Park Speakeasy.
Yeah.
Is really great. Have you been?
No, I've not been down there, but a lot of folks talk about it.
Yeah.
I've been a couple places down in Hyde Park, but not there.
My friend Lorna Boston runs a pro jam, and she used to do it at the Underground Wonder Bar for 27 years. And all the pros in Chicago come, and they bring their instrument, and, you know, it's just like a big jam session, but like on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
So good. That's where I did a lot of learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So she's going to have one at the Speakeasy in Hyde Park on Thursday.
This Thursday?
This Thursday night.
Or wait, are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there.
All right, there you go.
Are you going to be there?
Well, no, you know, I wake up at 3:30 in the morning.
You're not going to be
Can you call me in sick? Can you do it on Friday instead? We're going to take a quick commercial break. You can stick around, though, a little longer, right? Before we do, though, in case someone's running out of their car or whatever they're going, new album, right?
New album.
Yeah, tell us about where they can get that and what it's all about.
They can get it on iTunes. It's called Kadee Kaden, my name, Kadan.
Mm-hmm.
My first full-length album. Super excited about it. Put it out a few months ago. And you can get it on Spotify and iTunes, all of streaming devices, or kadeekaden.com.
That's awesome.
For a CD.
Kadan. Mm-hmm. Quick commercial break. We'll hear a little bit more off the album, and then more with Kadee Kaden here on 720 WGN. Kadee Kaden here on Extension 720, contestant on The Voice. So where are we at in how the season works and what's coming up next? As much as you're able to reveal, I obviously know it's a big suspenseful show that people are watching on NBC, but walk us through it.
It's actually on right now, too.
Oh, right at this moment?
I think so.
Are you on TV as we're talking?
No. This is, I think, the third week of blind auditions.
Okay, so this is that first part. And
yes.
You're on Team Legend, right?
I'm on Team Legend.
Yeah. What does that mean to you? I mean, to be on John Legend's team.
I mean, John Legend.
Yeah, right.
Pretty awesome.
Right.
And has velvet pipes, so it's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I heard you singing there on, I imagine that's off the album, that what we just heard. What is that song called, by the way?
Hey Yo.
Hey Yo.
I like that.
I can only imagine hearing you live. Because, like, blues has that way to, like, move you when you feel someone holding a note or going in a place that you didn't think vocal cords could go. But to actually feel the vibrations as an audience member, I think makes live music so much better than anything else. And you mentioned you're playing this Thursday. Are you have any other dates booked or anything's coming up that people can catch you out on? Or is it go to the website and find out more information, I guess?
Well, I'm doing, but it's kind of a closed thing.
Okay.
Navy Pier.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But it's a private thing?
It's a private thing.
It's a gala.
Yeah.
No more tickets available? That's okay.
There are tickets available.
What is the gala? Do you know what it's for, or should we? We can always plug it a little bit later if we got to look it up in the break.
Yeah, totally. I don't want to mess it up.
Okay.
But I know I'm headlining.
Now it's a private gala and a secret one. So
secret
gala.
Find out later.
Yes, we'll tell you about it before we go to the news. Oh, and so in The Voice. So then when is the next time we might see you? Or it's obviously coming up in a couple weeks, or how does
it
go?
In a couple weeks, I think. I don't find out till the Friday before.
Oh, really?
So you'll have to check out on my Instagram, Katie Kanin Official, to find out when I'm airing.
What's that like probably for you, just to not kind of know exactly what's next?
It's miserable.
Really?
A little bit.
Because everyone like me asks these questions.
It's a patience builder.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I'm like, I want to see. Mm-hmm. So,
what's it like watching yourself on TV?
It's fun.
Yeah, you're cool with it?
I'm okay with it.
Because some people are just like, never show it to me. I don't want to see a single episode. But I mean, this is such a big moment in your life that you got to watch. Are you watching with friends and family? Is everyone gathered around?
Yes, we all got together, my family. We all got together at my cousin's house in Orland. Mm-hmm. And you think a few family members know there was 50 of us.
50 people.
Yes.
So what's up?
50 people.
Were people cheering along with the crowd?
We had a couple TVs going and, you know, a lot of like, can you keep it down? Mm-hmm. A lot of those things happening.
Had you told everyone what was happening or did you say, hey, you got
to
watch and see?
No, I had to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
Do you know how horrible that is?
I can't even imagine.
It's bad.
Especially when it's good news. You mm-hmm. know? Right,
I just had to hold it in.
Yes, and you just waited. And did the people cheer when each of those chairs turned around?
Everybody went nuts. It mm-hmm. was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is obviously a big moment for you. Have you mm-hmm. had a chance to kind of say, you know, hold on, pinch yourself, enjoy it, these moments? I know the jam this morning was probably a highlight for you.
It was. I had so much fun. I really did.
We had a great time
this
morning.
It was lovely.
Well, you got this great personality.
Thanks.
And obviously here on radio, people can't see. You got these great glasses, the big bow in the hair. Tell us about your style, your personality, who you are as a person.
Oh my gosh, who I am as a person. Amazing.
Mm, right.
My mom really likes me. Yeah.
I can relate. Mm-hmm.
Style, I don't know. I have always loved fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was my younger self, I was afraid to try new things. And to be honest with you, it was harder to buy fashion when you're a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
Things weren't available. And I had to like shop at what I called at that time old lady stores. I know that sounds terrible.
Right, but.
But that's what I had to do. Mm-hmm. And I had to like cut things up or I had to take different pieces of fabric to kind of create my own style. Now I had a lot of failures back in the day, but now I feel like I'm getting better. I'm taking back the things that I once was made fun of and kind of making it my own. I feel like if you walk around with confidence, you can try different things.
Do you feel like those things, especially in blues?
Mm.
I mean, you've got to pull from I don't think there's a blues singer out there that doesn't have some disappointment in their life,
right.
Some things they've gotten over. That's like the whole point. Do you
Absolutely.
Feel like you pull a lot from whether it was growing up or past relationships and it really comes out?
Absolutely. You know, who said it? From your greatest pain comes the best art.
Mm-hmm.
But from joy comes the best art, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the different sides. And I think I've been writing for a long time, but people didn't know about it until about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. and that's why this is my first album. So I don't know. I'm kind of getting sidetracked.
That's okay.
You asked me about my cool style.
Yeah, just
I kind of don't know. Yeah. It's just having fun.
You have a confidence
having fun
about
with color.
You. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you don't have prescription glasses. They're just.
No, they're lensless glasses.
They're cool.
They're really cool.
I gotta say
right?
though,
Are you
as
just
someone
saying that,
John, no, I'm
it.
Just jealous because as someone who had to wear big glasses because I have really terrible eyes, and back in the day they didn't have like thin lenses; they were just these thick, hairy, carry glasses.
Oh.
I'm jealous that you get to wear them and then you don't actually have.
Okay, can I tell you something?
Yes.
I'm legally blind in my left eye.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I, as a kid,
so you get it.
I had to wear an eye patch.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not even kidding.
Do you have a song about an eye patch?
No. Nope. Now I'm going to write one.
I was just going to say.
It's going to happen.
One eye covered. I'm not going to sing, but I'll
let you. What if I steal that? You shouldn't say that.
Yes.
Sing that
start with one eye covered, the other one wide open. You can see with one, even though the other.
It's kind of blurry.
Blind. Yeah, it's a little blurry or blind. Or covered with an eye patch.
Covered with an eye patch.
You never know where you're going to go with these interviews. Katie Kanin, you're awesome. Where can people find more information about what it is that you do and your music?
Yeah, you can go to Katie Kanin Official on Instagram, Katie Kanin on Twitter, and katiekanin.com.
All right, so you have two assignments. Once you go out and do great things, as you'll continue doing The Voice. Oh, The Voice, you can get to The Voice on...
Yes, NBC. Okay. It's going to be airing tomorrow as well.
Okay.
at 7 o'clock.
All right, very good. You got to now come to the jam when you get big, and now WGN Radio, too.
Okay, well, all right. Now we're friends, John.
Yeah, so. We're done. That's it.
That's it.
KatieKaden.com. Thanks so much, Katie.
Thank you.
We'll tease in just a bit what's coming up ahead of the news, and we'll tell you about the Secret Gala here on Extension 720. Katie Kaden, K-A-D-A-N. The Secret Gala no more. It's going to be at Navy Pier. The experience, like Navy Pier, P-I-E-R. You get it. The tickets are available at NavyPier.org. It is on Wednesday, October 23rd, and Katie is headlining it. And that is really great stuff. After the news, we're going to be doing some more Extension 720. John Hanson in for Justin Kaufman on WGN. Thank you very much, Don. John Hanson here on Extension 720 on WGN Radio. Until 10 o'clock, Mr. Kaufman is playing in the WGN Championship softball game, and we're going to try and get you an update to see if we are. I don't even know who they're playing tonight. I don't know who the big media opponent is. A bunch of shoulder shrugs there. Clearly, no one cares about this as much as I do. I really want to win, guys. That's all I really care about.
I feel that. I do feel the competition. I feel like a bad local newsman for not having this score available.
Yeah, or a live reporter. Are there, right? Maybe Ryan Burroughs. Maybe he's playing. I don't even know.
Oh, maybe that's
maybe
it.
Maybe Burroughs in the game. If not, he should be doing updates for us. That's all I'm saying. Hey, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk with Hattie Finnerty, the Senior Manager of Education and Community Volunteers with the Alzheimer's Association Illinois Chapter. They've got a walk to end Alzheimer's coming up at the end of October. We're going to chat with her about that. But sometimes, like, you know, we talk about walks and events that people do, and it's all great and good. And the Alzheimer's one certainly is that, and it's for a good cause. But I don't know. For me, I always need to kind of hear of the progress we're making on whether it's cancer, breast cancer, Alzheimer's, whatever the case may be. Because, gosh, that just gives you that impetus to go to the event. So I think sometimes we get lost in, oh, what's the timeline of the walk or what we're doing? And we'll be chatting with that in just a moment or so about what's exactly happening. But I really want an update on the progress we've been made. Every now and then you read stories in whether it's health magazines or mainstream news, TV, radio, or on your newspaper about what's happening with Alzheimer's research. So Hattie's going to chat with us in just a little bit about what is going on with Alzheimer's research and all that other sort of stuff as well. And ask and ye shall receive. We've got Hattie Finnerty on the line. And Hattie, I got to ask right now, is it Hattie or is it Hattie? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's Hattie.
Hot. So, God, I gave it two swings and a miss. Good thing we get three strikes. Hattie, thank you so much for joining us here this evening on WGN.
Thank you.
So I was just kind of teeing up the idea of you have the walk at the end of the month, which is incredible. My grandfather suffered from Alzheimer's. I think nowadays, now that we know a lot more about the disease, I think a lot of us, mainly probably most of us, have been affected in some way by it. Talk us a little bit about the importance of the walk and why people should get involved.
Yeah, so the walk this year for Chicago is October 26th at Soldier Field. And I think the best part about it is, you know, people are coming together as like a community, and they're walking for their loved ones. Maybe it's not an immediate family member, but it could be a friend or, you know, someone that they love, and they're all coming together and joining the fight to basically bring awareness and an end to the disease.
All sorts of diseases obviously kind of take a village. It takes a family. Mm-hmm. It takes a community. Man, maybe no more so than Alzheimer's, because obviously it's incredibly tough on patients, without a doubt. But boy, the caregivers go through so much. It must be so important for caregivers to have a community, friends, family that they can talk to, other caregivers, I imagine, even just to gripe about their days, talk through it. I mean, these are human beings going through really tough times.
Right.
Sometimes it just helps to have each other.
Right. It's true. And a lot of times when people do come to walk, you know, they might have been, it might be their first walk, and now all of a sudden it's their 10th year, and they have now a bigger community because they've made friends with the people amongst them, and they don't feel alone.
Yeah. How are we doing on Alzheimer's research? I feel like we get good news here or there. Of course, it could be a little while till we get, you know, this disease knocked out, but I think that there's a strong belief, at least correct me if I'm wrong, that we might have cure is always such a hard word, a delay of whatever it might be, but
right.
Someone right now who's alive, maybe a young person, might be that first, I guess, quote unquote, survivor. And there's that hope there that this is really going to happen.
Yeah, so it's actually a really exciting time right now in research. You know, many people, I'm sure, have seen the international news and, you know, even like the national news and the headlines with the whole Sprint Mind study.
Yeah.
And that study was just basically tested whether intensely treating systolic blood pressure. So controlling it to 120 systolic would decrease the risk for developing cognitive impairment and dementia. So that was really huge. And a lot of people that were on blood pressure medications were allowed to use their blood pressure medications. And the study investigators showed that people that were using their blood pressure medications could advocate also for changes in their diet and their exercise to control their blood pressure.
Is it just the idea that, like with many things, whether you're overweight or whether you have high blood pressure for other reasons, it just puts undue stress on your entire body and particularly in the brain, and that's what they believe might be one of the causes, or at least one of the factors that enhances it more?
Well, there's a ton of different risk factors, but our cardiovascular factors plays a huge role.
Okay.
And one of that happens to be high blood pressure, and then, we see high cholesterol, diabetes. So those, put us at a higher risk.
Do you think that, I imagine that walks like the one that's happening in Chicago, just the wealth of information, people talking about the disease and out in the open and the public about what's going on, I mean, that must have a direct impact on the fundraising dollars, which of course has a direct impact on what we're able to find out.
Yeah, of course. I mean, every dollar advances the fight against research, and that's through all of, the pillars of the association. So, we provide our care and support for all of those facing Alzheimer's. So, we have our 24-hour, 7-days-a-week helpline, and that's an amazing number. If anybody can memorize that number, that's a number they should memorize. And I could say it now, it's 800-272-3900, but that number, people can go there for information and referral, and they can go there for in those moment needs. So if you are a caregiver and you're experiencing something that maybe you haven't experienced before, these are master-level clinicians answering the phone. And, we have several education programs in our community. So we do that stuff. And we all know, the association has awarded more than $410 million to nearly 27 scientific proposals. So, funding at the government level is huge. So we really are making strides. In 2018, the association and nationwide network of advocates helped secure a historic $414 million increase for Alzheimer's disease research.
Wow. Can you give out that number one more time?
Yeah, of course. The 24-hour, 7-days-a-week helpline is 800-272-3900.
Yeah, and you mentioned 24/7 because that's what care for Alzheimer's certainly is.
Right.
We were blessed. My grandfather, I believe he was 80. He was in his late 70s, early 80s when he was diagnosed. And, in many ways, we consider ourselves blessed. He passed away of a stroke at 84. He had started to get kind of bad, but he, of course, the names would come and go. He would, I can remember I was a teenager at the time, just like little things here and there. He thought that some of them you almost have to chuckle at some of them because there's no other way to cope. But he thought that the
right.
garden was full of moon rocks and that someone would come from outer space. And you just kind of, hey, it's grandpa. And, that's what you would do. And I'll never forget the time as a young teenager remembering that something was clearly wrong was when he was trying to tell me to go out of the house to go play with the neighborhood boy, and he was unfortunately referring to the fire hydrant. And I would just tell my mom these things, and, it hurt her and his wife. He started to recognize his wife of 50-some years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I can't, as a teenager I could tell that that was horrible, but I can't imagine for someone who is married to someone that's going through this sort of change. What an amazing resource to be able to, under whatever the circumstance may be, whether it's someone, is it just even, specific advice or just someone that can be there to listen? I mentioned that that goes a long way for caregivers.
Oh, for sure. And I think for them, we start to see a lot of role reversal. So these are people, especially with spouses who, thought they were going to be planning retirement together. And now it's like a role reversal. Instead of being like their spouse, now they feel like maybe it's their child that they're taking care of. So that helpline is great, but there's so many different resources. And, the helpline is just the tool that if you're looking for more information,
mm-hmm.
that's like the starting point. Because there is a lot out there, and there's a huge community, and there's support groups in the community that really help caregivers kind of not feel alone and isolated. Because, most caregivers sometimes people don't have someone else that they know where they can kind of bounce off ideas, and every individual is going to be different. So what might happen for one person might not happen for the other person.
What happens at the specific walk? I mean, everyone does things differently. I remember last year chatting with some of the folks from your organization, you know, different color-coded flowers. Walk us through, are you guys doing something similar this year? Is that an every year sort of thing?
Yeah, so our opening ceremony features our promise garden flowers, and those are our ceremony flowers. So each color symbolizes something. So our orange flower just supports the cause and the vision of a world without Alzheimer's. And then our yellow one is for caregivers. We have a blue one, and that symbolizes living with Alzheimer's disease. Our purple one is lost someone to the disease. And then recently, we have our white flower, and the white flower is our first survivor.
And obviously, no one specifically wearing that one, but it's out there.
Yeah, and I think that's something very profound in the walk, because it hits people like, this is why we're fighting, because we want that one day.
Yeah, and that just kind of hit me there, the idea that hopefully, God willing, that that person is out there today. That means that we're so close. That must really impact people there that obviously have lost someone or going through it. Obviously, you know, the sad reality is, it, obviously, if it's someone that's passed away, it's too late for them. There's certainly an advancement in the disease, and it might be too late for a lot of people. But that's why you walk. It's the hope that that white flower will be used at one point.
That's so true. That is true.
I'm on the website right now for the Walk to End Alzheimer's here in Chicago, and obviously purple adorns the top of it, as that's kind of become the color for Alzheimer's research in the organization as well. But what I love about the organization and what you guys do with the walk, obviously there's some competitiveness to it. I'm looking at leaderboards. I feel like I'm on a sports website looking at the standings. But that's got to be something fun that these groups really rally and you know, they try and get as much as they can, because that's the point.
Yeah. I mean, some of them, you know, are new to the walk, and some have been walking with us for 10-plus years. And, yeah, they like to see their names on the scrolling marquee. I mean, they're very passionate about, you know, the walk and trying to raise funds for, you know, research and parent support and everything that we stand for. But, yeah, I think they like to get competitive. And plus, there's a lot of incentive prizes as well. So, you know, once you hit one bracket of money, then you can move to the next and get another cool prize. So it's definitely competitive but fun.
Yeah. Remind everyone where they can find out more information, and one more time, the date and the walk and how people can get involved.
Yeah, so you could go to alz.org/Illinois, and then you'll see our Walk to End Alzheimer's for the Chicago Walk, and it's Saturday, October 26th.
All right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you can get involved. You can call our helpline. They can direct you to anyone on different ways if you want, feel like volunteering or joining us for walk.
Hadi Finnerty, Senior Manager of Education and Community with Alzheimer's Association Illinois Chapter. That's a long title you've got there, but a good one and a lot of great work. Thanks for joining us here. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to have a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to let you know this flu season is going to be a nasty one. At least that's what some prognosticators are saying, and I've got some information about that. And the reason why, I don't want to say the reason why, but the sign of the times in terms of what will be bad for the flu season is actually coming from down under. Plenty more on Extension 720. Extension 720, John Hanson in for Justin Kaufman until 10 o'clock. Take it right up to the next show. John, what we're going to be chatting about next is the flu season. Actually, I got to ask, do you get a flu shot every year?
I do.
You do? You're good about it.
I'm one of the few, I feel like, nowadays.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are skeptical, and there's a lot of people that feel like it's going to give you the flu, and they're wrong. We had a doctor on the jam who, Felicia, one of my fine co-hosts, is one of those people. She got it last year for the first time, and she says it was the first time she ever got the flu. She got the vaccination, and she says that, you know, a couple days later.
It made her sick.
Yeah. But, of course, it's a dead vaccine they're putting inside of you. Your body just learns how to react to it. So that and the nasal application, is not going to give you the flu, although a lot of people feel that way. And we sort of need this kind of herd immunity for us to kind of beat this thing. It's not always necessarily the most effective. It's usually for one particular strand or not. But everyone get your flu shots. And there's sort of a timing to it because it takes a couple weeks for it to develop that full immunity. So they're saying actually right around now is when we should really start to think about it. Don Kleppen, are you a flu shot guy? Do you get one every year or no?
John, recently I did start getting on that train. For a long time, I was kind of somebody who just didn't really make it a priority. And yeah. Then, yeah, it was either last year or 2 years ago that I got a pretty bad round of the flu. Mm-hmm. Sort of. I don't get sick too often, but this one put me down for like 3 or 4 days. And after that, I started doing it.
You learned your lesson.
Yep.
My dad is a fire chief out of Lincolnwood, and both my brothers are firefighters, so we have a very medical family, and I would never get the flu shot. I just don't like needles. I just would be stubborn about the whole thing, and for the most part, it would be fine. I didn't get the flu too often. I'm kind of like you, Don. I don't get that sick that often. Maybe it's because I have good hygiene. I wash my hands a lot.
Right.
I'm sure that plays a role in it. But what my dad started to do was start bringing flu shots to family functions, and we would just it's like a Hansen family. Family Christmas, we all line up and get our flu shots. We usually do it sometime in October. But he started doing this because I was so stubborn about it. And I shouldn't even say this on air, but one time I was just sitting on the couch and talking, and my dad's like, hey, roll up your sleeve. I want to see. It looks like you have a little scar here, because he knows I'm scared of needles. And I went to go talk to my mom the other way. Boom, bop, got it right in my arm right then.
What?
A sneak attack flu shot.
Without
permission.
Whoa.
But it's your dad.
I know. I understand. He's being a good dad, but like, wow.
Yeah.
That's a needle.
I hope I'm not going to get him in trouble for this. Some HIPAA violation I've just created.
Wow. I do like the vision of the family function thing.
Man. Oh, and I now, mean. So now it's a thing. Now it's, I don't know when exactly we're going to do it this year, but he's allowed to, I sure hope he is. Boy, I sure hope I'm not airing some secret that I'm not supposed to. This is like when I told the story of my dad who, you know, he's a fire chief, and he used to bring home the confiscated fireworks from the police department in Lincolnwood.
Oh, man.
And we would just shoot them off. And he told me never to tell that story again, and here I've done it. But
Lincolnwood,
yes.
Too. Nice.
Yeah, I know. I really should have named the town, but I guess some Googling, you would have figured it out. And he's still fire chief there. At least he is as of now.
As of right now.
No, he...
That is really interesting. I mean, I think of, like, my family functions, and my uncle brings, like, potato salad. Somebody brings liverwurst, and mm-hmm. It's like, man, if somebody walked in with needles, man,
yes.
I just don't know.
Right. They're very safe about it. We're a medical family.
For
so,
sure, yeah.
They say that the flu could be pretty bad here this year. Rough flu season just wrapping up in Australia. Could mean a worse one here in the U.S. where the flu season just started. Last year, it's really easy for folks that are, you know, if you're healthy at an age where it does, you know, if you're anywhere over 5 or 6 years old and you're not a senior citizen, for the most part, the flu is not going to kill you. But it's kind of shocking. It ran from October through May last year, as many as 43 million people, they say, caught the flu in the U.S. 61,000 deaths. That number is just, it
wow.
jumps off the page.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of infants, of course, that they get it, that's really dangerous. And if you're a little bit older, that certainly has an effect on you, too. But man, it is just a dangerous thing. And they say that it's winter just ended in the southern hemisphere, and that can sometimes predict what's going to happen in the U.S. It's not a surefire thing.
We got a winter storm out west. Just brewing now. It's
yeah.
just east of the Rockies.
It is time. And I saw some estimates in Minneapolis snowfall on Wednesday or northern parts of Minnesota of 2 feet of snow. No
Yikes.
One's ready for that. Come
no
on,
way.
We're all shaking our head
it's
at that.
October 7th right now?
Yeah, right? A little bit too early for that. Ugh. All right, we're going to have more. Oh, so, and moral of the story, get your flu shot or have a dad that just brings it to the party.
Yeah, or start bringing it to family functions.
Just start bringing it to family functions. We'll get the news and more after this on 720 WGN. Just got a few texts about my dad giving me the flu shot there. Don't worry, people. I gave him permission. I give my permission to my dad, who is allowed to give flu shots, to give them at any time. No, I appreciate everyone's concern out there. Hey, after the break, news break, we're going to be chatting about a local initiative support corporation, LISC. We've had them on before. They do a lot of different initiatives. They run basketball tournaments. They do fun things. And they're also having a great two folks that are going to come in and chat about how they're helping people in different neighborhoods become become entrepreneurs and start their businesses. If anyone out there has ever started a business before, they know how troublesome it can be. And in every community, people could use some help. So if you ever had any interest about starting a business, or you're interested in doing that, or know someone who is, the next segment is going to be for you. But it is 9:30, which means it's news time. Here's Don Clippett. WGN, John Hanson in until 10 o'clock here on Extension 720. I am not a business owner. There's many reasons why I'm not, and one of them is I wouldn't even know where to begin. And I imagine that's how a lot of you feel too, our listeners. But I always say LISC, but they go by LISC, right, Dr. Williams? Right? LISC is what they go, the abbreviation.
Yes.
All right. Oh, let me turn on your microphone. That is always helpful. There we go. So joining me to talk about, not necessarily about LISC, because they're a great organization that does incredible things, but also about teaching people how to be entrepreneurs and how that all fits in. Joining us right now is Dr. Lauren Williams, who is Regional Director of Sunshine Enterprises, and Tanika Purnell, the financial coach from NLEN. Guys, thanks for coming to the program tonight.
Thank you for having us.
On a school night, too.
Night.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Williams, you could probably explain it better. What are you doing and how do you guys help?
Okay, so I am a part of an awesome team of folks who just believe very greatly in entrepreneurship in mm-hmm. the community. We believe that small businesses stimulate the economy. So we provide an array of services where we wrap around our entrepreneurs and kind of create the larger ecosystem needed to start and or scale their businesses.
And what's your relationship like with LISC? Because they kind of help set this up, and how does that work?
Yes, absolutely. So we love LISC. LISC believes greatly in the work that we do, particularly in our 12-week entrepreneurship program, where we discuss and teach topics such as marketing, access to capital, cash flow, personal budgeting and credit, which is how they introduced us to North Lawndale Employment Network with Ms. Tanika here. And so we're excited because we know personal budgeting and credit is important, because typically how folks kind of manage their personal finances is going to be how they manage mm-hmm. their business finances.
So, what are you guys in a lot of different communities around the area? Because I mentioned this is a very universal thing, but it is awesome to help out specific neighborhoods for people that we really want to see some new businesses grow.
Yes, absolutely. Our headquarters are actually located in Woodlawn, soon to be the home of the Obama Presidential Center. We teach classes on the west side of Chicago as well as the north side. And so mostly in communities that have historically been underserved and under-resourced.
And I imagine that look, everyone's got their own ideas and solutions for how to turn. And there's a lot of great things happening in all of our neighborhoods. Let's just say that off the bat. When we say a neighborhood's struggling, doesn't mean there aren't 99.99% of the people that are doing incredible things. But every neighborhood could use a little boost here now and then again. And I imagine that starting a business and having people patronize your business in those neighborhoods is one of the most effective ways to grow a community.
Absolutely, because not just to encourage generational wealth, but also to create jobs, right, in communities where it's hard. It's hard. You know, jobs are few and far between in some of these communities today. So we empower the entrepreneurs, and then they then create jobs and help to grow their communities.
Tanika, tell us about the NLEN.
Well, it's North Lawndale Employment Network, and we are a workforce development organization, and so we're working with people who are facing significant barriers towards gaining employment, and we're helping them gain employment. We do offer the wraparound services also, so finding and gaining employment.
Mm-hmm.
We're also supportive services for them as they come through the door. And we also do the financial coaching part of it. And that's kind of how we teamed up with Sunshine Enterprises with the help of LISC, with working with the entrepreneurs who are looking to reach those financial goals.
When people start this 12-week intensive course and what they go through, are they people that have an idea, that already have a business, or that are coming in and looking for something new? Or is it a wide range of people?
So, good question. Actually, it's a wide range of folks. So we have folks who just come in with a business idea, not sure if it'll work, but know it'll, you know, have an idea that it could generate revenue. And then we have folks who've been in business in the community mm-hmm. for 10, 20 years mm-hmm. who just need to learn how to scale or reinvent themselves, so to speak, especially as some of our communities are transitioning.
What's the one of the biggest pitfalls that people make when they start a business? I imagine you both have an answer for that one. Because it's hard.
Oh, man, that is a good question. So a lot of our folks, and this can be seen as good and or bad, depending on how you look at it and what the outcomes are. They're so excited, right? They have such fervor, and they're just like, I'm going to start a business tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow. And they don't really strategically think through, okay, what are my cash flow projections going to look like? What's my startup budget? You know, what are my monthly expenses? And so sometimes they kind of launch out, and some of them have learned, you know, some hard lessons by the time they come to us. And then some of them are just starting out with us. So hence the importance of entrepreneurship education.
You mentioned barriers to employment. I imagine there's barriers to starting a business too.
It is. And I'm going to, as the financial coach in the room,
I need a financial coach. Who doesn't need a financial coach in every room? The living room, you can be in the kitchen. We need you everywhere.
Yes. So as the financial coach in the room, I'm really going to say that we, when the personal budgeting and the personal credit and the personal finances overall, we're starting a business, but, you know, we don't always have a good handle on or a good hold on
meaning
how
that
all of these things work.
Too much debt or what is it?
Lack of credit, are not able to just put the budget together. Mm-hmm. If, you know, emergency comes around, anything like...
Not ready to plan for that 6 month where they need it or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, because I imagine there's just a lot of people out there that, you know, they are ideas driven people.
Yes.
They've got that passion. This is me. I'm talking like looking in the mirror when I say this. I got all the ideas in the world. But when it comes to the spreadsheets, you know, and I like numbers. I'm okay with math. But I guess I just wouldn't even know where to start. And I imagine that's how a lot of people are with you guys. It's like, where do I really start to build this up? And especially if they've had some past history where maybe they had some issues with credit.
Yes.
I mean, I imagine a lot of folks, wherever background you come from, there's past incarcerations perhaps that are barriers to what you're doing. That should not limit people. That can be a problem going forward, but it should not limit someone from inspiring them to be able to start their own business.
At NLEN, we always say we're going to start with the end in mind. So what do we want? What does the end look like? And what are the steps that are from the now to where we want to be? And that's how we work and set everything out. So it just, what's the end result? What's the end goal of this?
Do you guys tackle it from a very individual sense? I mean, you got a lot of different people. How many people are in some of these courses?
So typically our largest course, we try not to go past 35.
Okay.
Last cohort, we had over 60 folks sign up for one side of town. So we ended up running two classes at once. Presently, we're running four cohorts. And so we try to keep in mind the quality. And so we try to keep the classes at an amount where we can manage the classroom. And so it's interesting that you mentioned a vulnerable population, the returning citizens, those who have been incarcerated, because more recently we've put a lot of focus on that particular population, recognizing that it's still hard for them to get jobs when they come home, you know? And so a lot of our returning citizens have entrepreneurial mindsets, and all we do is kind of give them the business concepts and the ecosystem that they need to be successful.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that a lot of quote-unquote do-gooders out there say, well, these people did something that got them in prison. There's a reason for it. And if it's tough for them to start a business, well, that's just tough. But then they turn around and they say, well, these neighborhoods need to change. And these neighborhoods need to... It's like you can't do one without the other.
Absolutely.
So I wish people would... don't point your nose down a little bit and just open your ears a little bit. And I imagine you guys have so many success stories of people that so many people would have forgotten and have really turned it around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you mentioned something that's very important, opening your ears, right? And so all of our entrepreneurs come to us and they all have stories, you know, and so we ask them what their definitions of success are. We don't give them a definition. Whatever their definition is, we come alongside them and support that definition.
What sorts of businesses or people have you talked to that you know have gone on to do successful things or that you're working through the process right now?
We have restaurants that are open. We have
barbershops,
luxury car service,
food trucks, catering companies. We have folks with online businesses. We have folks with professional service, so service-based and product-based folks with products and Whole Foods. We have an array.
Which is great. I mean, that's what you want to look at, as a diversified sort of set of businesses. I did a tour of North Lawndale with the Lisk folks, and I stopped by on the jam. It was like at 6 in the morning, and these poor people got up. Yeah, I have you here late on a school night. You wake up at 5 o'clock. You see what the difference is. And they were, I'm trying to remember the name. I'm actually pulling up the clip right now as we do it. But they were B-Love.
Sweet Beginnings. That is
Sweet Beginnings. Yay.
That is our social enterprise.
Yes.
Started by our fearless leader, Brenda Baum's Barber.
Who is a personality, I gotta say.
She's amazing.
She was ready at 6 a.m. She's amazing. I'm watching this clip right now, and I'm like, oh, this was a day. And I gotta say, I had that honey, because they got the bees in the back, right?
So good.
It is the best,
the best honey.
I ran out of it. The little sample they gave me, I finally ran out of it. And I went and got some, store-bought stuff from, the jewels, whatever, it's fine. Oh my God, I was like, No.
The same.
I'm going back to North Lawndale to get some real stuff. And, that's the thing I think that we, as Chicagoans, and all of our listeners spreading out all over the Midwest, and in a city and a suburban area that we have to admit is very segregated.
Absolutely.
That the more we can visit another part of a city that we haven't been to before and realize it is not what you see on the news. That we have so many great places to go. And that's what it is. Like, I would have never thought there's a bee farm in North Lawndale serving the best honey you ever had.
And
I imagine that's a message that you guys try and get out to not only the entrepreneurs, but to people you talk to in everyday life.
Absolutely. That's why we're so grateful for this opportunity to come and talk about the work that we're doing in the community. Because a lot of times, I travel a lot. And as you stated, a lot of folks, it's basically what they see on the news and what they hear. It's oftentimes they don't, kind of venture into some of the communities and get to know the good that's going on. So that's why we're here tonight. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any? All right, so I got a financial coach in the room with me right now. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you got like three tips or something. If someone has an idea out there, they want to start a business. What are some three tips for someone as they're getting started to do that from a financial perspective? Maybe getting their credit in order. What it might be.
I would say just really, when it comes to credit, let's make sure that we are paying cards on time.
Okay, the basics.
Using your cards correctly if you have them. Mm-hmm. Building your credit if there's any kind of credit building program that you're able to take advantage of. And also just start to budget. And it's so easy to start with your personal finances. Mm-hmm. Just kind of watch where money is going. Watch where money is being allocated to, so that way you're using it correctly.
I'd say, and you say this with budgeting, man, writing things down makes all the difference in a world, and really adding it up.
It does.
Because then you're like, oh boy.
Yeah.
It's usually not a good one. I don't think anyone ever writes it and they're like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
I think they look and they go, oh, wait, hold on now.
Yeah.
And any advice for people out there right now that want to start a business, Dr. Williams, that you can really think about and give to our listeners?
You know what? The best advice I could give is to educate yourself and go for it. If not now, then when? If you have an idea, go for it. Grab a hold of whether it's our programming or other, there's a vast array of programming throughout Chicago to support entrepreneurs, and just go for it. It sounds simple, but it really is profound.
Yeah, because you say that, and gosh, we set up this whole thing like it's hard. It's not easy to do. You got to have your credit right. And I imagine that's all true. But at the same point, we need people to step up to the plate and to do it and realize that, and I've always felt this way, people think that, oh, not me. That's something for other people. Mm-hmm. And especially in underserved communities.
Absolutely.
I imagine that barrier, that wall looks even higher.
Absolutely.
But there are success stories out there.
And it's not to say that your credit has to be already perfect when you're coming into this, because if you have the mindset to start it and do it and even find Sunshine Enterprises, come to North Lawndale Employment Network, there's people who can help you get those things in order while you're on this journey. Mm-hmm. So we're here to help. We just need everybody just kind of come in. They're welcome.
Yeah. I love all the pictures that Dr. Williams is taking right now, by the way, on air. I love when people...
This is like my 15 minutes of fame, and so I'm really trying to soak it all up, okay?
Well, where can people find out more information about what you do in the program?
All right. So to find out more information and join us for upcoming cohorts, they can go to www.sunshineenterprises.com and click on the button that says apply here.
And 12 weeks, is it once a week? What's the time frame like? Is it every day? What's it like?
Yeah. So 12 weeks is one night a week, just okay. Depending on which side of town you take it on, from 6 to 9. So we try to accommodate, you know, working folks, parents. We try to really cut down on excuses to be successful.
Well, everyone's got some.
Absolutely.
And I'm trying to write some down right now. I can cross them off the list.
And so we'll see you in our class next cohort, right?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. On a school
looking
night.
Looking forward
to
it.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Williams and Tanika, thank you guys so much for stopping on by. Anything else you want to make sure our listeners know out there that they can really take home and as they go about their days and maybe starting out their businesses?
Support small businesses. They stimulate your economy.
Yeah, I think we often talk about that we lament over the loss of manufacturing jobs, and that certainly is truer on the South and West sides more than anything. But to the, a lot of them aren't coming back, and I think that's a reality of the situation, and we've got to come to grips with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that small businesses will be the backbone that keep our economies going.
Absolutely. Yep.
We can't always look to the corporation to be the things to pull us up. All right, guys, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Plenty more coming up on Extension 720 on WGN. That's a nice bump, Ashley. Very sweet. Thank you so much. Extension 720, we're in the last few minutes here. Just want to give a shout out again. What an awesome organization LISC is. Local Initiative Supports Corporation. They facilitated this partnership between the North Lawndale Employment Network. That's what Tanika was chatting about. And Sunshine Enterprises Community Business Academy, CBA. And that was what Dr. Williams was chatting about. Giving tools to make businesses thrive in every single neighborhood that we can. Man, the small business is obviously the backbone of our economy. Not to go on a rant here, Bill, but I went down to North Lawndale and I was telling them this, and I just never expected to see a beehive, a bee factory. No, that's the wrong word. Bee farm factory.
Bee factory.
A bee factory.
Then we attach the wings.
Yeah, I didn't know those existed in nature. No, living in Chicago, I'm always surprised. And I work for a morning TV show, the Jammer on CW 26. And for years, I'd go to like little businesses here and there and visit them as the field reporter. I'm in the studio now. And every single morning, I was just blown away at our city that there's so many incredible people out there doing great things. And sometimes we focus too much on certain neighborhoods and we should focus on others.
And you're absolutely right about new. Again, I'm a business professor. Mm-hmm. So
you know,
most new jobs come from small businesses. It's the big corporations. You know, tap out. Yeah. It's the small businesses that really are the future.
That's why I brought you on early, Bill Cressy, just to tell me that I was right.
You are right, sir. Of course you're right.
I knew you were going to say that. So
WGN would not have you on otherwise.
Yeah. So what do you got coming up here tonight? You got some friends in studio here?
We have my...
You got a posse here.
I got my posse
here.
With me. I've got my wingman, David Gollin.
Mm-hmm.
He's a history professor down at Governor State University.
Oh, my goodness.
I am a professor, and he just came out with this book. Let me ask you a question.
All right, please do, because if I wasn't doing this, I would have been a history professor.
Okay.
Yes.
Finish the sentence.
Oh, no.
A mind is a terrible
thing to waste.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, who came up with that slogan?
I have no... Churchill.
No.
Okay.
this man right here, Arthur Fletcher.
Okay.
And David wrote a biography about him. What an incredibly interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first African-American player on the Baltimore Colts.
Really?
Yes. He held a number of just under-secretary cabinet positions. He was the head of the United Negro College Fund. He ran for lieutenant governor of the state of Washington. And his driver was a guy named Ted Bundy. So, I mean, it's just a wild...
What?
Yeah. Just a wild
story. How many things can we? How many things are true there? Come on, Professor. Is everything he just said accurate?
Every single thing is accurate.
There you go.
Okay.
And standing.
This one better be as good because you really set this up here.
I think I have.
Okay.
Standing behind me is John
Seidel.
Okay. Seidel. I wanted to get it right. Yeah. Seidel. Mm-hmm. Okay. John Seidel. He just had a book come out called Second City Sinners.
Ooh.
Okay. When people worldwide...
Please tell me it's true crime.
Oh, true crime.
Oh, I love true crime.
True crime. And, you know, I just did a tour of Central Europe with some of our students from Governor State.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them, you're from Chicago. They're like, oh, bang, bang.
Right,
you know?
Right. That's what they do. They make the sign with the guns.
Yeah.
The 20s, right?
Well, yeah. Well, guess what? It's true. And he goes back... You know, to the Haymarket riot and the killings there and all sorts of, and some incredibly interesting stuff. The old federal courthouse we were just talking about that got bombed.
Oh, man.
And, you know, just some incredible, sadly, it's a city with a lot of bloody past. Well, guess what? We're going to be talking about it.
And I'm going to be listening. We're going to do the quick commercial break, then the news on 720 WGN.